Good morning, church. It's a blessing to be here this morning and to stand before you. Had a nice long trip yesterday. My wife's nephew, got married yesterday. And so we was up in Lake City, Minnesota for the wedding. Beautiful, beautiful wedding. I'm going to use some of that this morning in the message because today we want to talk about praising God with all that is in us. We want to talk about worshiping God with all that is in us. And so, let's bow our heads because I'll tell you in a minute. Father God, we do come today, Lord, to release ourselves to you, Father. Lord, to share ourselves with you and allow you to share yourself with us. And Lord, help us, oh God, to not be afraid or ashamed, but God, to open up that a world that don't know you might realize that we serve a living and true God. So I thank you today, Lord, and I say to you, whatever that you do here today, let thy will be done. Use me now, in Christ Jesus' name, amen. Praising God with all that I have. This is a touchy situation here. I've been pondering this for the last several weeks as we've studied worship. And what is true worship? And how do I properly worship God? And what is the meaning of true biblical worship? These are the subjects that we've been studying on Tuesday night. Don't worry about it. Like I said before, you're not the only one that gets this. I have to go preach at community too. And so the thing is, how do I give all to God? Most of our churches today are still operating. Now keep your shoes on. I don't like getting hit with shoes, okay? But are still operating from the old worship in the 50s and 60s, probably longer than that, where we come to church and we're quiet and we humbly experience God for ourselves. There is a time for that. There is a service for that. Now, you guys are coming over, I hope, on the 20th to community. And you better get your running shoes on because Pastor Keys and us as a black people, we're a rowdy crew. We serve God with everything, we worship him. I'm not ashamed to cry out hallelujah, and you've been over there before and you've heard it all, haven't you? And you've seen how, you know, the church worship. But there's other times where the church is as quiet and you can hear a pin drop. I believe that the Christian should not only have a closet praise. Come on now. But that if I serve a true and living God, then I am the example of who God is in the world that we live in. How is the world going to see that I serve a true and living God if all they see is how pious I'm trying to be, or how I told you, don't throw no shoes at me, or how quiet I am? But they can see me at a different function, and I'm standing, and I'm shaking my hand, and I'm applauding, and I'm doing all of these other things when they see me outside of the church. But when we come into the church, what we do is we sit down on God. We excite ourselves when we're out in the world. But when we come into the assembly of God, we have the audacity to just sit there. I don't know if y'all gonna want me back after this. We have the audacity to show a world, to show those who come into the house of God, that there's no excitement in serving a true and living God. I beg to differ. From a different era, we kind of wild a little bit. But I'm wild in the way that I serve a God that has done more for me than I can ever do for myself. And for that reason, I will serve him and worship him and praise him with all that is in me. To my last breath, people will understand and know that I serve a living God. Wow. He gives me the joy. I ain't even got on my message yet. Sorry. But he gives me the joy that I have. He gives me the peace that I have. He gives me everything that I need. And what do I give to him? Well, yes, we can live a life where we talk about him and we share Christ and everything, but the world needs to know that we're excited about our God. Amen? Somebody say that. Help me out a little bit. So help me out. I told you, y'all know me by now. That we're excited. We have some enthusiasm about who we serve. So I ask that you would turn with me to Psalm 149. And a little background on this psalm is this is actually a psalm of the redeemed. This is actually a psalm of the Israelites that have come to Christ. And this is in the future that the writer is talking about. How in the future all of the praise and all of the honor is going to be given to Christ in the future. In other words, this is a time for us to begin to practice for what we're getting ready to walk into in the future. The Psalms reads in New King James, it reads, "Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name with the dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouths and a two-edged sword in their hand." Let's go back. As I said, that this is a futuristic Psalms because it's talking about the day and time when the children of Israel that do not accept Christ right at this moment, not all of them, some are Christians, most of them are not, okay? They do not accept Christ, but the day will come where the chosen will have accepted Christ as their personal Savior. And then they will be able to sing and shout Amen. I waited, but we'll keep going. The Bible teaches us, it says, sing to the Lord a new song. In other words, when they accept Christ, they don't have the same old songs that they were singing under their Judaistic religion. They sing because now they have the Messiah. They have Jesus Christ. They have peace. They have love. Why? Because Jesus Christ has paid the price for them to be accepted, to come back to the Father. And if we look at our lives, we ought to be more vocal about how about what has happened in our lives. We ought to be more vocal about how it was Jesus that saved us. How it was Jesus that took us from a state of what? How many of y'all been saved all your life? Oh, did nobody raise their hand? So we have to be rescued from something. We have to be rescued from our sin and ourselves. And so if you have nothing else to praise God for, he rescued me. Now I don't have to go to a burning hell. Why? Because he took the penalty for my sin. Oh, I don't know, but that does something for me because I was a wretch undone and I wasn't no good even for myself. But he saw a purpose in me. He saw a purpose in you. And so the psalmist says, sing to the Lord a new song. Why? Because he's rescued you. He's brought you. As the old folks used to say in my day, from a mighty long way. He says, and his praise where? In the assembly of the saints. Why is that so important? That we praise him in the assembly of the saints. Well, you know, you know why a lot of people say, you know, they don't go to church. Now, there's many excuses, and a lot of them are very lame, okay? But a lot of times when we come to church and we see no life in the church, we see no life that God has been good to us or whatever. I'm not talking about running, hollering, screaming and all that, because a lot of that external stuff is just fake to me. But when I can raise my hand because God has been good to me, because when I can say amen, or when I can attest to the truth of God's word and allow the people that come in to understand that I serve a God that has everything that I need and that has been good to me, and I'm going to express it in my emotions, in the way that I feel, in the way that I speak, help me God, in the way that I live, I'm going to be a testimony with my emotions of how great God is to me. See, the problem is when we get into the assembly, we don't want to disrupt somebody else. You know, we don't want to be out of the norm. Okay, but see, when you have to understand that when you became a Christian, you became a rebel. When you became a Christian, you became different from everybody else. When you became a Christian, you became a child of God. He snatched you from the hands of Satan and put you into his family. And now you are a child of God. And that ought to be a shout all by itself. Amen. That now Satan has no more claims on me. So in the assembly of God, I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm not going to be afraid to lift my hands, to raise my voice and tell somebody how good God is. I will praise him in the assembly of the saints. Hear this now, and I'm going to be done here in a minute. It says, let Israel rejoice in their maker, verse 2. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. You hear that? Let them rejoice. Boy, at the wedding last night, shoo, there was some dancing going on. I don't dance, so I didn't dance. I don't dance because I would have actually embarrassed myself. See? But I found joy in watching the other people dance. I never could dance. I'm not going to start now. See? But there was joy. And see, in thinking of that, and coming in with that today, and thinking of that, then what about in the church? What about in the assembly of the saints? If we can go to and go to a wedding, or we can go to an outing or whatever, and we can find joy in dancing and singing and all of that, why is it that when we come into the assembly of the saints that we sit as logs? There's no joy. Why? We just partied real good last night. We laughing there? Or what? No, God is good all the time. And he's worthy to be praised. He says, let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. It says, let them praise his name. How? With the dance. Now, y'all never see that in me, so don't worry about it. Let them praise him with the dance. Now, it's not no crazy dance or anything like that. You know, it's, I don't even know the names of it. You know, I don't know. I don't dance. You see? But it is a dance of like Miriam. When they came through the Red Sea, and Miriam took up the timbrel, and the maidens took up the timbrel with them, and they began to sing praises, and they began to dance. Why? For joy that they were set free from the grips of Pharaoh. Let them praise him with the dance. Let them sing praises to him with what? Timbrels. And harps. I'm going to get it one day, Rick. We're going to bring them out one day. All right? With timbrels and harp. Okay? It says, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. In other words, when we begin to praise God, God is sitting up there. He's happy. He's smiling on his people. They praising me. You know what? That's what he's all about. That's what we're here for. We're here to worship God, to praise him with all that we have, and to serve him with our full being. Amen. That's what we're here for. And we're here to let a dying world know that he's the only way. How am I going to do that? Just go speak to somebody? No, I'm going to show you that I'm living for him. I'm going to show you how great he is in me. I'm going to show you that he is the way, the truth, and the life by what I say, by what I do, how I feel. How I express that. We're missing a generation. Help me today. We're missing a generation because sometimes we're too internal and not think about external. See, the external, they don't know how church is supposed to be. And the only way that they're going to figure out how church is supposed to be is how? If we show them. Is that not true? That says amen right there, if you didn't know that. If we show them that this is the way to praise God, this is the way to give your all unto him, this is the way that I worship him. He says, with timbrels, with harp, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Now, maybe my theology might be a little wrong here. I hope not. But when I saw that, he talks about beautifying the humble with salvation. You know, humble, we think about being meek and pious and all of those things, okay? But when we look at the word humble, that means I'm willing to surrender myself. You got it? Did you catch that? I'm willing to give of myself. I'm willing to bow before him, not only in my outward expression, but in my inward expression. But as we know, outward expression should be the example of an inward experience. I shouldn't just have to, and which I do, you know, I think if my wife really listened closely, she could hear me down the basement, and I'm just getting it. Me and the Lord just praising. I'm just, every now and then, I have to stop and see if she's looking around the corner or something, and I come back in there. I'm just praising God, and I might just be sitting there sobbing at the feet of Christ, confessing my sin, knowing that He is the only one that can forgive me of my sin. And when I know that I've been forgiven, when I know that He has heard my prayer, then a crescendo of praise come up out the belly of who I am. And I begin to praise Him all by myself. But in the assembly of God's people, then I can still do the same thing. I'm not ashamed. I humble myself before Him. We should humble ourselves before Him at all times, yes. But that humility should bring about a sense of praise and adoration. That the world might see we serve God. He's living. He's true. Let the saints be joyful. Verse 5. In glory. Let them sing. How? Aloud. See, I don't need a mic. Every now and then my voice comes back and I can say it. See, aloud. Aloud. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. See, I just have to be who I am. I can't help it. When I think about what He's done for me, and y'all know my story, y'all know, I done told y'all 100 times already. Y'all know where He's brought me from. Y'all know how He's healed and how He's brought me from danger and this and blah, blah. I can tell you over and over again. That is the reason why I praise Him. When I was out there, I was too tough to cry. But you say the right word, and I'm liable to cry right now. We get to talking about Jesus enough, and I'm liable to start sobbing. Why? Because He's been that good to me. I can't help it. And when we begin to understand all that He has done for us, then nothing should stop our praise. Nothing should hinder our praise. I don't care if a person is sitting over there looking directly in your face. You ought to look right back at him and say, I serve a true God. You can look at me if you want to. Why? Because that's who you serve. Now, am I trying to get you to run around the church and run and do some cartwheels? Nah, I'm not trying to get you to do that. But I'm trying to get you to release the old. Ah, I'm in trouble. Release the old in order to not do away with, but to embrace. Embrace. You want to know why? Because when I got this young man, he called me dad, named Breon, and you want to talk about radical? I'm nothing compared to him. Okay? Call me dad. And I want to get him over here to preach to you guys once. Deep young brother. Okay? But it's because of people like you, young men that are seeking after God, that are striving to do God's will, that we need to embrace and understand that it's not just our way. We're reaching a trying to reach. We talk about how bad our young people is, black, white, Asian, I deal with all of them. Talk about how it is, Mexican, Hispanic, whatever. I deal with all of them on a daily basis. They asked me to come talk to some of their kids, and they interpret for me. They're going crazy. And when they do begin to seek after God, then guess what happens when they come to church? How is God so real when the church seems so dead? Wow. Uh-oh. We can't reach a people. Like I said, I'm not telling you to do cartwheels. But one day we're going to pass on. One day the church is going to move on. And it's not going to be the same. It's not. It's not going to operate on the past experience, but it's going to come in with a new oil, a new wine. You see? And my prayer is this, that we can begin to show the world that we're part of the new wine. We're part of that oil that's going to anoint a generation that don't know God. I'm all for Jesus keep me near the cross. I'm all for what a friend we have in Jesus. I'm all for all of the hymns. I'm a hymn person. I love them. Okay? But I know some people that you ain't gonna reach. You ain't gonna. They'll never come back with just hymns. They'll never come back. Now, the word will never change. And you will never hear me teach anything but God's word. But our worship. Used to be in the old church. And I got to get out of here. Used to be in the old church. I told you before. We had a row of deacons all the way across the front seat. The deacons would begin to sing songs. And then all of a sudden, one of the mothers would join in and sing a whole song. And then somebody in the back corner would join in and sing a hymn, a part of that song. And then before you know it, the whole church would begin to gather into that song and sing parts of that song. In the black church, they call that the spirit moving. If we can only get the spirit moving, then the world can see that the church is made up of the spirit of God, and that is operating under the spirit and the anointing of God through his word. Like I said, I've been around you guys long enough to know, for you to know, I stick with God's word. I'm not telling you anything that's out in left field. We know this generation is different. But if we read our scripture, and I got to go, I'm trying to cut this thing off. But if we read our scripture, we see that God dealt with his people in different dispensations. He didn't deal with them in the promised land the same way he dealt with them in Egypt. His word stayed the same. His word stayed the same. And so I come to ask, not for you to give up your past experience, because you can't. They're in you. I can't. It's in me. I've learned to worship wherever I have been. She'll tell you, I don't know what the Burmese church is saying, but we be worshiping. I don't know a word they say. Don't. But we be worshiping. I don't know what the Hispanic church be saying, but when I go there, we be worshiping. You understand? Why? Because we're operating under the same spirit, and we have one thing in common, that we're not ashamed. We're not afraid to open our mouths and to say hallelujah, and to say I love the Lord in the assembly of the saints. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we do thank you for this time that you have given us. We ask God that you would continue to grow us. Father, I don't know it all, but Lord, wherever you lead, I'll follow. Help me to be better at what you have called me to do. Help this, your people, Father, to understand and to give themselves wholeheartedly unto you. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.